Welcome to VGK Today, presented by Circa Sports, where we take you behind the scenes with the defending Stanley Cup champion, Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Justin Russo with the Golden Knights on Saturday, March 30th, with the VGK in Minnesota today to battle the Wild and wrap up a four-game road trip. Ahead of today's action, Vegas sits in third place in the Pacific Division, 4 points behind second-place Edmonton, and 1 point ahead of the LA Kings, who are now down in the second wildcard spot in the West. The Golden Knights are 2-0-1 so far on the trip, coming off a win Thursday in Winnipeg, helped by a two-goal performance from Ivan Barbashev.
Hit on the right, backhander, score! Ivan Barbashev! Vegas takes the lead! In the midst of a forward line change, the Knights strike back. Barbashev with goals in consecutive games. Hit 100 last time, now 101. 17 on the season, a backhander with two defensemen right in front of him. One forward and one defenseman. A quick stick backhander, roof job by Hellebuck. And with 5:29 to play in regulation, the Knights have a 2-1 lead. Pionk down to the right circle, backdoor pass, Thompson slides right, makes the pad save. Vegas can't clear, Barbashev gets it. Barbashev, one man to beat. Barbashev steps in, he shoots, he hits the side of the goal and it's in! Vegas with an empty net goal. Ivan Barbashev, the go-ahead goal and the insurance goal. 3-1 Knights with a minute 45 to go in the third period.
Those were goals 17 and 18 for Barbashev on the year, and as you just heard, they ended up as the game-winning goal and the insurance goal for Vegas, with both coming in the third period. The Golden Knights have now won 7 of their last 10 games, and are starting to pick up the pace as they look to secure a spot in the postseason. After the break, we hear from the architect of this year's Golden Knights, as Dan Duva sits down with Vegas general manager, Kelly McCrimmon.
Hello, I am Kerry Buboltz, president and CEO for your Vegas Golden Knights. I am a proud board member of the Nevada Donor Network Foundation. With over 600 Nevadans waiting for a life-saving organ transplant, we can all do our part to bring hope to those waiting. I am partnering with Nevada Donor Network to raise awareness about registering to be a hero. I am a registered organ, eye, and tissue donor, and proud Nevadan. Are you? Join us at wearenevadans.org.
Jack Daniel's has always made whiskey, and if they have it their way, they always will. But there's one thing Jack can't make more of: moments. Those are on us to create. You see, hockey fans, we only get one shot at this thing called life. So let's make sure we're making the most of every moment, whether it's showing up for our team or sipping a glass of Jack while cheering at the radio. Don't let a single moment go to waste. Make it count. Jack Daniel's.
Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Old Number 7 are registered trademarks. Copyright 2022 Jack Daniel's. All rights reserved.
Kelly McCrimmon, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Oh, a pleasure. And we'll cover a few things here, but let's start big picture. What's the state of the Golden Knights right now?
Well, I think we're moving in the right direction. We've had better continuity in our lineup, which has allowed our game to grow a little bit. I think that's really what we're looking to continue to see evolve. We've missed a lot of time as a group, so we are trying to make up lost ground. We're in a real battle for the playoffs, playoff positioning. So, clearly the results are extremely important. We've been able to have a good week here so far. And, really look now with 9 games left to try to play as well as we can to make the playoffs, to finish as high as we can in the conference. But, following that, to be playing good hockey when the playoffs begin, because you're playing a really good team in round one.
9 games to go. What's this time of year like for you?
Well, it's a great time of year for everybody, for players, certainly. It's an 82-game season. I think that it's extremely challenging with the travel, with the schedule, and everything that goes along with being a professional athlete. I think when you get to this point of the season, the excitement grows. So for fans, I think it's probably similar. We wish that we were comfortably in a playoff position, so that's a little bit different for us compared to a year ago. But similar to a year ago, I felt that we played our best hockey, going into the playoffs. When you look at last year, I really thought the turning point was coming out of the All-Star break in early February. I really looked, I think, when I spoke on your panel following the trade deadline. In my mind, I really looked at the season after the trade deadline as being the time of year where we really needed to turn the page and begin to play our best hockey. So I think we're making some progress in that regard, and that makes it exciting for players.
You're watching your team's games. How much do you watch other teams, especially those that are in the hunt in the Western Conference?
Well, you try not to scoreboard watch, but of course you do. I've said to George in the past, it's a good thing we don't have anything to do with the outcome of these games, because you don't even know night to night which team you should be cheering for. I know one morning George and I were going over a game we'd watched the night before. He was cheering for one of the teams, I was cheering for the other. So that's as much as scientific as that gets. But, you do. But I think, even last night, we won in Winnipeg. Some of the teams were competing with, I guess, namely St. Louis. They won in Calgary. But I'd rather that the race was that way, not be happy that we lost, but so did they. So, again, this ties into the longer-term goal, which is as good as the teams are in the West this year. If you're not playing really good hockey going into the playoffs, you're not going to be successful when you get there. So this is all part of that same process to be playing well when the playoffs begin.
You mentioned the trade deadline and the acquisitions that were made. Two of the players have played 11 games. Noah Hanifin on defense, Anthony Mantha up front. Your evaluation in seeing those two players to this date?
I think real good additions in both cases. In the case of Noah Hanifin, real elite defenseman. I think that he has played extremely well. It's how the game evolves. We didn't trade for Noah Hanifin to put Nick Hague on the right and have them be a pair, but that's that's what can happen, and they've been excellent together. Of course, Noah started his first few games with Alex Pietrangelo before Alex missed time, so Noah and Nick Hague have played real well together. I think with Anthony Mantha, he's found real good chemistry right now with William Karlsson and Pavel Dorofeev, and when you look at our trip, scored a goal in a 2-1 game in St. Louis. They were in on half the goal scored the next night in Nashville. They were part of the game winner last night in Winnipeg. William Karlsson is such a tremendous two-way player that, he probably no one has more variety of line mates over the course of the season, not just this season, but just in general, than Carly does, and that line has played really well for us here in the strip.
There's a third acquisition that was made at the deadline, Tomas Hertl. There was hope that he would return at some point down the stretch. What's the latest on his status?
I think that he will definitely return. We're hopeful that he might get in the last five or six games, which is going to be a shot in the arm, a boost for our team. But I think as well, it's going to be great for him as a new player to be able to, just to be on the bench, to get to know the coaches, to get to know teammates, line mates. That's going to be really helpful if we can get him playing. He's skating on his own. I think when we get back from the trip we're currently on, we'd expect that he will integrate into practice, soon, first in a non-contact jersey, then as that those hurdles are cleared, he'll move into a contact jersey and then into our lineup. But I would say everything that our medical people felt when we acquired him, when they first got the chance to evaluate him and assess him, I think everything is on track based on what their assessment was at that time, which is really encouraging.
It's a good problem to have, many have said, when you have too many good players to fill out a lineup. How do you view that at this stage?
Well, you look at our lineup this year, and I mean, nobody knows it better than you because you've called every game. I can't imagine of contending teams, maybe some teams that have fallen out of it, have used more players from their AHL affiliate than we have. But in terms of contending teams, we've had players from Henderson you know, really, you know, I guess where did it start? Probably on the fence was where our first injuries were. If you go back to the beginning, you know, White Cloud had surgery. Martinez missed time. You know, Ben Hutton had surgery. Shea Theodore had surgery. I mean, you can go through the list back there. So that's where, you know, Caden Korzak got a real good run of games. It seems like a long time ago now, but he was, you know, played around 26 or 27 games, plus missed 6 weeks himself with injury. And then, you know, after the new year, or I guess going into the new year, the injuries really seemed to hit us up front. William Karlsson missed 6 weeks. Jack missed, you know, 20 games. They missed time together, which really, you know, takes a chunk out of your lineup. So we had a stretch, I believe, when I looked at it the one night, when we did get 12 NHL forwards back in our lineup, we had gone 28 games with a call-up from Henderson in our lineup. So I'm not worried about having too many good players, I guess, is a long-winded way of telling you that. I think when you look at preparing your team for playoffs, and that's we talked to the trade deadline about a general manager's last opportunity to you know help his roster for playoffs is at the trade deadline. You know, I really like to have you know last year we had you know 8 defensemen on roster the whole time. Ben Hutton and Braden Bahal were our 7th and 8th defensemen. They did both play in the playoffs, and then you know, for large chunks of time, you know, Paul Cotter, Teddy Bluger, and Phil Kessel were, you know, a fifth line, if you will. And yet Teddy played a really important role for us in our series against Edmonton. You know, Phil started the playoffs before Will Carrier got healthy. So it takes a deep lineup to be able to win at playoff time, to be able to have a long playoff run, which is you know every playoff team's hope. so I think in terms of the personnel, we're really, really comfortable. We felt all year we wanted to add a veteran forward. We were fortunate we were able to add two, and then with you know Noah Hanifin as well. You know, adding you know Manta, Hurdle, Hanifin at the deadline, I thought really positioned our team well for the stretch drive and hopefully into a long playoff.
That's a wonderful answer, and you outlined some of the players who, of course, missed time. And with those absences, other players either came up or players who were already on the roster had increased opportunity, which leads to my next question. Fans vote on a 7th player award, the player that most exceeds expectations. How would you think about that if you were guiding a fan to think about some of the players this season who might have exceeded expectations?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, and it's a real worthy award. It's easy to focus on your stars. Everybody does it. Fans do it. You know, coaches, managers, we all know how important those players are to a team. But I think when you get past that that first group that we're touching on, you know, there's some real valuable contributors. I don't have my full lineup in front of me, so I apologize if I omit someone obvious, but I come back, I guess, to the guy I just talked about in William Karlsson and, you know, what he does night in, night out for our team. But you get to, you know, you get to the Nick Waugh's who, you know, I think could be, you know, well up a lineup anywhere in the National Hockey League. He's been up our lineup. I think he you know, played pretty much, you know, 15 to 20 games between Barbashev and Marchessault while Jack Eichel was out of the lineup, you know, filled in very admirably there. So I think of a guy like that. You know, I go to the blue line, I look at a guy like Braden McNabb, who had every HSK defense call-up was Braden McNabb's partner. So he, you know, just does it night in, night out, you know, zero maintenance guy. He's a great leader in a quiet way, a very respected player, and you know, now has his familiar partner back, of course, with Shea Theodore. But, you know, he had quite a few, you know, he had Daniel Miromanov, he had Braden Bahal, he had Caden Korzak that all played with him. And I thought he did a really good job of mentoring, you know, his partner. So he would be a guy that comes to mind for me on the blue line if I just am going off the top of my head.
Yeah. I'll pivot toward one of the younger players with such a stacked lineup for a young guy to break in. Not always easy. Pavel Dorofeev with another goal last time out against the Winnipeg Jets, and he is another one who sustained an injury, missed time after that hit in New York. He has, with 12 goals in 38 games, goals per game among rookies, 0.32 goals per game. The only rookie with a better number is Connor Bedard. What's that tell you?
Well, Pavel's really a good young player, and it's an interesting one for our fans because our team has been built, more so than most teams through trade. And obviously when you trade four players, people know exactly who those players are, how you got them, and maybe know quite a bit about them before they ever arrive. Pavel was a great draft choice by Bobby Lowe's and his staff, and then he's been properly developed, and that's where Will Nickel, our director of player development, comes into playing a real significant role. He's been over now in North America, I'm just guessing 4 years, but you just see the steady progression in his game, and that's what's exciting for me. I think that physically, he's still only scratching the surface in terms of his physical maturity. And, I sometimes refer to NHL players as a guy being boy strong versus a guy being man strong. And I think that, Pavel is going to really continue to get better and better. He has got the ability, I think, to be a one-shot scorer. Of course, we're doing this interview the day after we played Winnipeg, and his goal that he scored against one of the best goaltenders in the league was just an absolute tremendous shot, put it exactly where it had to go to score. And, I think responsible defensively, understanding the game, and he's got good size, good range. And again, part of the excitement for me is I just think that he's going to continue to really develop into a real good NHL player.
Great stuff. Let's turn from your hockey team to a handful of other topics. We'll call them curiosities with McCrimmon. How were the general manager meetings?
The GM meetings were, I thought, quite good. They're held at a time of year where the deadline is a couple of weeks in the rearview mirror. They're well enough in advance of the playoffs that it might be a time of year where general managers can focus on league issues, not so much on your own team, which I think is part of the responsibility of being a general manager. You're effectively a steward of the game of hockey. So a lot of good discussion about the game, rule tweaks. There's not a lot that needs to be changed, and yet there's some real, easy and obvious ones that came up that I felt were unanimously supported. Some of these discussions are ones that have been had at other meetings and other years, and will continue to be into the future. The other aspect of the GM's meetings is it's a real good time for managers to have FaceTime with other managers because, over the course of a year, you get pretty wrapped up with your own team. A lot of your communication with managers would be, by phone or by text, so the chance to be able to see each other in that setting. We have a real nice, dinner as part of part of that. The meeting agendas, the days are short enough that you had, time to do other things with some of the people there. So I think there's real value to that, and it's probably, over the course of a 12-month year, it's the best time for the managers to convene in terms of being able to focus on some other things, and of course. Night falls and everybody's, worried about their own game and how their team's doing, how the teams around them are doing and all of those things. But it was a real good opportunity to be, in the same area, the same place for 1 week.
One of the news items in the sport of hockey that's come up recently is the potential change from the NCAA for allowing CHL players into the NCAA. You have a unique perspective. You played for the Brandon Wheat Kings and then the Michigan Wolverines once upon a time. Do you have a thought on that and how it might change the complex of NHL view on amateur players if that in fact comes to pass?
Well, I'm as up to speed on it as a person can be. There's a lot of unknowns still. It's interesting. You touch on my background. I always considered myself extremely fortunate that I was able to play major junior hockey and was able to go to the University of Michigan. Following that, the year that I went, which was the fall of 1980, was the last year that that you could do both. So I always considered myself very fortunate there. Then, of course, I worked in the Western Hockey League and the Canadian Hockey League for 27 years before I came to Vegas. So, you know, I believe in the development, the development record of the WHL, what it does for young players. I think that, I guess my hope is, it's done in a fashion where everybody benefits and no one suffers. I think for the NHL, we need that arrangement to come together that way. If this strongly favors one side or the other, I think it'll be to the detriment of NHL teams who have you know, players developing in both streams, and of course our scouting efforts in the Canadian Hockey League, our scouting efforts in U.S. college, all of the things that go with it. So I hope there's a balance that is struck where it works out to provide even better opportunities for young players. That's what you hope, and I hope that it's you know, I suspect there'll likely be some growing pains, and I don't. You know, we're talking as if it's a fait accompli. I don't think that it's quite there yet, and yet it sure looks more than, you know, there's been different times over the last 20 years where there's a little bit of a groundswell where you thought it might happen or could happen. Well, you know, everyone, I think, involved in the game believes it is happening, so now it's a matter of what does it look like.
You mentioned coming to Las Vegas. Bruce was in Las Vegas. The other Bruce, Bruce Springsteen, for a concert recently. You know that I'm a big fan. My question to you, Kelly, is if you could see any musical act perform live in person, who would it be? Which artists come to mind?
Well, he'd be at or near the top of the list. I was there 2 weeks ago or whenever it was that that he was there. I was amazed at how you know, unbelievable the concert was, how he sounded, you know, how it just went from song to song. There's no wasting time. They're doing a fantastic job. So I really enjoyed that one. You know, I've done a few UFC fights there, some boxing matches at T-Mobile. You know, most of the music that I like, Dan, they don't tour anymore. So yeah. I'm probably more limited to my Spotify.
So we get to see Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, who hadn't been in Las Vegas in 20 years and put on a heck of a show for nearly 3 hours.
Including Viva Las Vegas.
Including Viva Las Vegas.
Great rendition.
And I'll tell you, you know, when I got offered this job with the Golden Knights, as you know, I'm a huge Springsteen fan. So I pulled up, I searched the internet for Springsteen concerts in Las Vegas. And I found the recording, the bootleg recording at the time. And wouldn't you know, that particular show 20 some years ago, he opened and closed the show with Viva Las Vegas. And you knew.
Yeah, no, I was aware of that. And as you are a Springsteen fan, so many of the people that go to his concerts, I flew home from the general manager's meetings in Florida. The guy I sat beside was flying from Washington to Vegas to watch Bruce Springsteen, and it was his 19th time. You know, so that's kind of the following that he has. I know that some people in our office, that's how I knew he opened and closed with Viva Las Vegas when he appeared there years ago. So, it was a fun night and pretty impressive.
Yeah, and for those who listen to the radio play-by-play carefully, there may be some Springsteen lyrics that end up in some of the play-by-play calls. Last one, and our guest, of course, is Kelly McCrimmon. I've got a quote for you, and I just want you to think about who comes to mind when I read this for you. A faithful friend is a sturdy shelter. He who finds one finds a treasure. Who comes to mind for you?
I guess immediately would be, you know, my wife, my family would be the first people that come to mind. For me, my dad, certainly, you know, George McPhee, for sure, would be one of those people that I have tremendous regard for, is, a huge help, great friend, all of those things. Those would probably be the people that come to my mind first.
Well, Kelly, it's always a pleasure. Thanks. We know it's a very busy time of year. Great chatting with you about hockey and some other stuff, too. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime, Dan. Thank you.
That's Kelly McCrimmon.
An open and honest Kelly McCrimmon with Dan Duva. Stay tuned as after the break, we'll wrap things up on VGK Today.
Listen up. Your share at winning over $500,000 in free fuel and products is just a tap away with the Terrible Social House app.
Yes!
With a qualifying purchase at the pump or in-store, you can shop, spin, and win directly on your phone. Win free products that you can redeem instantly in-store, or if you're feeling lucky, you could land on free fuel towards your next fill-up. Shop, spin, and win. Download and play today. Terrible's, deliberately different since 1959. Go to terribles.com for more details.
Vegas! On behalf of NACVI Injury Law, Golden Pipes, Carnell Johnson.
If you've been hurt, NACVI is the word. Call 702-INJURY.
For Han NACVI with NACVI Injury Law, imagine you've been injured in an accident. Now, do you want an assembly line law firm that treats you like a number and settles early for easy money? Hell no. Call me now for a free consultation at 702-INJURED.
Well, a great chat there between Dan Duva and VGK General Manager Kelly McCrimmon, with some good insight on everything from where the team is currently at, the status of Tomáš Hertl, and even how he deals with watching games this time of year. Now, one tidbit that I loved particularly was when Kelly spoke about him and George McPhee meeting the day after watching games the night before, only to find out that they were rooting for two different teams in the same game. And it really just shows how close things are out west right now and how quickly things can change on a night-to-night basis in the standings. And you can hope for the out-of-town scores to fall your way as much as you want, but sometimes you don't even know who to root for, and it's best to just focus on your own team. And Vegas will certainly look to take care of their own business today against the Minnesota Wild, who are 9 points behind them in the standings. And if Vegas is able to get a win, well, you win as well. Enjoy 31% off menu-priced pizzas at Pizza Hut the day after each win using code VGKWINS on PizzaHut.com. So hopefully the VGK take care of business and you can get some nice discounted pizzas on Sunday courtesy of the Golden Knights. Thanks as always for tuning in to VGK Today. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform as we'll be back each week throughout the regular season with new episodes. Stay tuned next week as Dave Gosher joins our program. Justin Russo signing off for VGK Today, presented by Circa Sports.